the barbarian tribes of Rome, the Sarmatians, their warfare and conquest. Warfare and conflict were an essential part of the Sarmatian society, and their culture, economy, and society were built around warfare, pillaging, and conquering. From hunting to looting, the Sarmatians knew that to survive in the steppes, one had to be not only mobile, but bold and strong. From the 4th century BCE onward, their fame as formidable and ruthless warriors grew, and soon enough they would be hired as mercenaries by the Pontic and Bosporan kingdoms, and later, even the Romans. The first written account of the Sarmatae in the classical sources is about their participation with the Scythian force against Persian King Darius I in 513 BCE. It is no mere coincidence that when the classical authors mention them later in their text, that it had to do mostly with their conflicts and the way they fought. The extent of their collaboration is not entirely known, but Herodotus mentions them as allies of the Scythians. The Sarmatian tribes had many more military encounters throughout their written history. The Arosi fought on the Roman side in the Roman Bosporan War in 49 AD, and the Syraces fought on the opposite side. The Bosporan conflict was created when the Bosporan king Aspergus died and left the kingdom to his son Mithridates III. The claim of Mithridates was strengthened when the Roman Emperor Claudius made him ruler of all the Bosporan territories, although they remained as a client state of the Romans. However, in 45 AD, for reasons we do not fully understand, Claudius deposed Mithridates and placed Cotes I, Mithridates' younger brother, on the throne. To protect his new client king, Emperor Claudius placed Gaius Julius Aquila in charge of a few Roman cohorts. Mithridates couldn't stand idly by and watch his treacherous brother claim the throne that he felt was his, so he sought help from the neighboring Sarmatian tribe, the Syraces, who was under King Xorces. Cotes feared an impending invasion and turned to Gaius Julius Aquila and his cohorts for help. Gaius was a shrewd general, and seeing that Mithridates' forces were much larger in number than theirs, he quickly enlisted the help of another Sarmatian tribe, the Arosi, who under their king, Euenoes, as soon as their forces were prepared, Euenoes and Aquila attacked the opposing side. The Roman forces began to lay siege to the Bosporan cities under Mithridates' control, such as Artzania, while the Arosi invaded the Syracen territories and laid siege to the settlement of Usup. This Syracen city had weak defenses, which enabled the Arosi to construct tall towers, which they could use to harass defenders with arrows and darts. Usopi's defense was unsustainable and quickly fell to the Arosi control. The siege would only last one day, according to the Roman historian Tacitus, and it would result in the surrender of the Syraces. When Mithridates received word of his ally's surrender, and seeing that his forces were dwindling, he decided to surrender personally to King Euenoes, since he knew that the Romans and his brother would kill him. Tacitus describes that Mithridates went to Euenoes' court and knelt before him, saying, "Mithridates, whom the Romans have sought so many years by land and sea, stands before you by his own choice. Deal as you please with the descendant of the great Achaemenes, the only glory of which enemies have not robbed me." The king of the Arosi was impressed by his courage, and considering that the Arosi were only tribal capable of protecting him against the Roman aggression, allowed Mithridates to take refuge in the Sarmatian court. However, Euenoes could not put his alliance with the Romans at risk to protect a deposed prince, and wrote to the Roman emperor informing him of Mithridates' presence in his court, but also asked that he show mercy to the deposed Bosporan king. Claudius showed his mercy, but ordered Mithridates to be sent to Rome. After an audience with the emperor, Mithridates was let go and forgiven. The Arosi Roman force secured a victory for their coalition and brought such devastation to the Syraces that they would only appear one more time in the classical books as a co-belligerent in the Bosporan conflict of 193 AD. After that, they vanished from written history. Although the Arosi chose the winning side in the Roman-Bosporan War in 49 AD, some decades later they would be conquered and assimilated by the powerful Alans, who had recently arrived in the Black Sea area. The Lazis and the Roxolani, who had crossed the Don in the 2nd century BCE, were in an advantageous position in the 1st century BCE, having close proximity to the Roman border and thus access to direct diplomatic relations with the Roman Empire, as well as the possibility to loot some of their wealthier cities. For the duration of the first century AD, the Exarchs were relatively friendly with the Romans and helped them in their military agendas. However, the Roxolani conducted a series of raids on Roman Moesia 62-86 AD, even managing to destroy a Roman legion. This destruction reminded the Roman generals that the Sarmatian people were a serious foe, and even their superior army structure couldn't compete with the large numbers of cavalrymen the Sarmatians had in their hosts. The Roxolani also participated in the Dacian Wars, siding with the Dacian people against the Roman invaders. In this war, the Romans enlisted the help of the Exarchi, as they had been receptive towards them previously. At the end of the Dacian War, Roman Emperor Trajan won the conflict against the Dacian-Roxolani combined force and managed to antagonize both Sarmatian tribes, the Roxolani and the Ignaces, by establishing and demarcating the imperial province of Dacia, infringing on Sarmatian control in the area. They would engage in many conflicts with the Roman Empire after this, only being temporarily pacified when Roman Emperor Hadrian allowed them to coexist in Roman-controlled Dacia. In this pacification process, the Roxolani king, Resparginus, was given Roman citizenship, and subsidies were paid to the Roxolani to maintain some stability with the borders. The Macro-Mannonic War, 166-180 AD, during the reign of the Emperor Marcus Aurelius, marked a reopening of their hostilities with the Sarmatians as the Ignaci joined the Germanic forces to invade the Roman province of Pannonia, Dacia, and Noricum, and all the way to Italia and Achaia, which is Greece. Marcus Aurelius ultimately defeated them and peace was made. A truce between the two would be finalized by the handing over of 8,000 Sarmatian horsemen. For this victory, Marcus Aurelius would adopt the title of Sarmaticus, a title that openly displayed to the Romans that Aurelius was the one to subdue and achieve great victories against the Sarmatians. The first Alanic military conflict that is mentioned in classical literature is the Alanic incursion in the Parthia in 72 AD. What essentially was a looting military excursion by the Alans nearly resulted in the capture of the Armenian king, Thriodates I, in battle. He escaped and was successful in his attempt to defend the homeland from Sarmatian sacking. In 135 AD, when another account of an Alanic looting excursion is mentioned, this time into Asia Minor via the Caucasus Mountains. This endeavor was eventually driven back by Arrian, the Roman governor of the province of Cappadocia, a region in modern-day Turkey. The beginning of the 2nd century AD would mark the Alanic arrival in the Black Sea area, where they assimilated and conquered the local Sarmatians, such as the Arsori. So, quite a mix of tribes in this particular area. Now, the source for this, the Germanic people, their origin, expansion, and culture by Owens, Civilization of the Celts by Launay, Civilization of the Steppes by Conrad. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.